Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter number 45. Genesis chapter number 45 as we're going through our series in the book of Genesis. We're looking at the life of Joseph and even bringing his father into it a little bit this morning in Jacob. This morning's message is a little bit different than what you would hear on a Sunday morning. I think you'll enjoy it. I think the Lord has spoken to my heart about it. And I pray that we get the thought across. And we're going to see how Joseph is going to reunite with his father. And it's just a very precious moment. I don't know if there's many more precious moments in the Bible than this one special moment in time. And it talks about how he fell on his neck and he cried there. And he stayed there a good while. And today I'd like to preach a message entitled The Precious Moments of Life. The Precious Moments of Life. And here's the thought pattern through the whole message. You're going to see that there's just some special events that happen here. And you know what? There's a lot of precious moments in our own lives. There are things that we should cherish. There are things that we should thank God for. There are things that we should be doing. And we are wasting away sometimes some of the precious moments we have with the people God has brought into our lives. And I want you to understand that because Jacob here and Joseph here did not get bitter, they were able to have this reunion together, and it was a special time. The Lord even, I believe, added some years to Jacob's life so they could spend these time together, so they could have this special moment together. And I want you to try to visualize and picture when we get to that passage of Scripture, the son who was beloved by his father finally reuniting with his father, and then the son who was the prime minister or the second in charge of all Egypt, riding up in his great chariot and riding up in his royal robes. And I'm sure he looked the best he could. He was going to see his father for the first time in how long? And him just falling on his father and just weeping. It's just a precious spot, a precious moment. Tonight when we consider, this morning as we consider the precious moments of life, I want us to try to understand looking for the good things amongst the bad. I want us to understand that we have so much to be thankful for. Even in this passage of Scripture, we're going to look at how we should honor our parents. You say, well, this isn't Father's Day. It's not, but we're supposed to honor our parents all the time. Also, I want you to see, do what you can while you can. Because many of us have lost family members. And the idea they've already gone on to be with the Lord or unfortunately had a different fate. And we need to make sure we're doing what we can with what God has given us today. So as we look at this story in Genesis chapter 45, we've been going through it chapter by chapter, more thought by thought. And we are going to skip over some verses here to get to the main part of the message. But we're going to start in chapter 45. We ended last week when Joseph was revealing himself to his brothers. And once again, we talked about how it was great passages of Scripture. And we talked about how in the world could Joseph forgive his brothers. And we talked about how he saw God in it all. And how and once again, we don't want to re-preach that message. But in verse number 6, he begins telling his brothers, look, the famine has only been for 2 years. And he's got a lot of years ahead. He says, I want you to go home. I want you to get to my dad. I want you to get all your wives, get all your kids, get all your belongings. And come on up here to the land of Goshen, which is connected with Egypt. And I will take care of you. And he even talked to Pharaoh about it. Pharaoh even sent home wagons to be able to for the ladies to ride in, for the children to ride in, and his father to ride in. And in chapter 45, and let's look here in verse let's go ahead and start in verse number 24. Joseph is sending his brothers away, and he has sent his father a gift. We'll find that in verse 23. So it's chapter 45, verse 23. He says, and to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he is sending his father this huge gift. Now, once again, picture these animals. Picture their brothers going back. And their brothers are going back to tell Jacob his beloved son is still alive after all these years. At this point in time, they're going to have to confess what happened. They're going to tell him that they lied and all those other things. But let's first look at this reunion here. Verse 24 says, so he sent his brethren away and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. Joseph wants to get his family back. He wants to help take care of them. He says, look, go, come back. We'll be waiting for you. Verse 25, and they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob, their father. Now, you can imagine Jacob has, you know, Benjamin went with him. He was discouraged about that. He didn't want to send Benjamin. And I'm sure Jacob's looking for his boys to come. And he sees Simeon, who was in jail last time, and Benjamin coming up on the horizon. And I'm sure he's excited. I'm sure his heart is lifted up because of the fact that these boys are back with him again. And he told, and it says in verse 25, and they went up out of Egypt and came in into the land of Canaan unto Jacob, their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. Imagine what I can picture Judah saying this to him, because Judah is kind of the one that they've chosen to be in charge. And it says, and told him, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Imagine Jacob. I mean, he probably had a heart attack here. I mean, it says in Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. I don't think it actually because of a heart attack, but imagine hearing this news. And not only is he alive, he's actually governor over all the land of Egypt. And it says, and Jacob's heart fainted, and he says, for he believed them not. He said, you guys have told us so many lies over the years. This just isn't true. Verse 27, they told him all the words of Joseph. They told him all the things that happened and how Joseph made them come to a point of confession and realizing their sin and how they got things right with him and now how they're going to have to get things right with their father, which he said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Now, you say, oh, of course he got excited because he got to see the wagons, got to have all these things. That wasn't it at all. He wasn't interested in the stuff. He was interested in the son. It's kind of interesting here. You let the Holy Spirit of God lead you and guide you on what to preach and what to say. But you see now, verses earlier, he's being called Jacob. In verse 28, what is he called? Israel. He'd gone from the person that was not believing to the person that is now believing. And Israel said, remember that time when he wrestled with God, and we talked about wrestling with God and God changes his name. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. I want you to take special note here. He's not really interested in the 20 different animals that have been laden with different things with him. He's interested in the fact that his son is now alive. Now, just to give a little side note here, Pastor Thompson many years ago, I say many years ago, but it was when he was here, he was pastoring, he preached a message, it is enough. He says, my son is yet alive. And he talked about the idea that it was enough. And he used the idea of Jesus Christ, because Jesus died on the cross, but it was enough that he rose again. And because he rose again, we can have salvation. And we do get a lot of other things when it comes to salvation and benefits. But, you know, the greatest thing is that Jesus Christ is alive today. And it is enough that he's alive. And you can have salvation today because Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And I know that's two different thoughts there, but I remember Pastor Thompson preaching that message. And it's a wonderful thought. It is enough. That's not the message this morning, but I want you to remember, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning, because Jesus Christ died and was buried and he rose again, he is alive today, you can have salvation because it is enough. Because he rose again. But let's keep on going back to our story here. Israel is excited. He says, I'm going to go see Joseph. You can tell, obviously, and this is his beloved son. This is the one he put up in the coat of many colors. This is the one that was of his beloved wife and all those things. He's excited about it. So what does he do? Let's see what happens in chapter 46. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. Now, I find this really interesting. There are a lot of spots you can preach a whole message on, and here's one of them. He stops. Is he excited about seeing Joseph? Sure he is. He's excited about Joseph. He's excited. He's going to get to see his son. And they're traveling. They're probably going 25, 30 miles down. And he says, look, we got to stop. We need to go to this special spot, the spot where he met with God. And he says, we need to stop and we need to give thanks to God. He says, yes, I want to see Joseph. I want to see Joseph more than any of you. I'm the most excited about seeing Joseph. But there's something we need to do before we go any farther. And we need to stop and give thanks to God. And I think that's an important thing to remember. You know, we can be excited about the blessings of God and the precious moments of life, but we need to make sure that we are stopped and thanking God. There's another thing I think he's doing here, is he's seeking God's will. And we remember when we way back when we talked about Abraham, when he left his land and how he came and he made this journey, and right there was the land of Canaan. This was God's will and God's plan. But he went over to the world one time, and he went over to Egypt. And remember, that's where he picked up a lot of bad things, and bad things happened to him when he was in Egypt. And I think Jacob knows this, or Israel knows this, and Israel does not want to go down to Egypt without God's permission. I know it looks right, it looks great. Why wouldn't God want me to do this? We need to be careful that we're always following after God's will. He stops in this special place to give thanks to God and to look for direction. Let's look what it says in verse number 2. It says, "And God spake unto Israel in the vision of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I." That's and God speaks to our heart. That's, "Lord, I'm here. I'm a willing servant." And he said, "I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation." He reassures him. He gives him courage to go down. He said, "I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again." And this is interesting, because we're going to see that Jacob passes his promise along to Joseph. And Joseph, at the end of his life, says, "Look, I want my bones to go back when you guys leave." But that's a message towards the end of the book. "And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him." And verse number 6, it says, "And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt." And then they begin to give the names. And you see here in verse number 9, "And the sons of Reuben." Verse number 10, "And the sons of Simeon." And verse number 11, "And the sons of Levi." Verse number 12, "And the sons of Judah." Verse number 13, "And the sons of Issachar." "And the sons of Zebulun." "And these be the sons of Leah." And "the sons of Gad." "And the sons of Asher." "And these are the sons of Ziplah." "And the sons of Rachel." And "unto Joseph in the land of Egypt." In verse number 20, you keep on going. And you see, this is filled with precious things. All these things are, these are the children of Jacob. These are the grandchildren of Jacob they're talking about. These are the precious things of life. These are the things that are remembered. I know we've heard bad things about these 10 boys and how they sold Joseph and they did all these things. But you see, there's preciousness also amongst the bad. There are some good things. Let's take our Bible down to verse number 28. Verse number 28, you see the reuniting of Jacob and Joseph. The reuniting of Jacob and Joseph, and he sent Judah. Once again, I think Reuben has disqualified himself, and Judah is now kind of the lead of the family. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face into Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen. So we see here that they're getting close. They're traveling. They're almost to Goshen, and Jacob says, "Judah, you go on up and tell Joseph. You move a little quicker. Don't worry about your wife, your kids. You just head on up. See Joseph. Tell him we're almost there." Verse 29, "And Joseph made ready his chariot." And once again, I want you to kind of, I don't know about you, but I like to try to visualize things when it happens. And you can imagine Jacob getting ready to be excited about seeing the son for the first time. I'm wondering what Jacob thinks he looks like. I'm sure he's asked the boys. I'm wondering, what will Joseph sound like, and what's happened to Joseph over all these years? And like I said, I'm sure Joseph excited about seeing his father. And it says, verse 29, "Joseph made ready his chariot, and he went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him." And this next couple phrases, "And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while." I want you to try to picture that in your mind. You can imagine Joseph in his Egyptian garb. They were people who did not usually have facial hair. They were people that usually, even the people that were in charge, many times their heads were shaven. Their clothing would be completely different than what Jacob and his family was. And Jacob's coming in his shepherd's long clothing, long robes, long beard, probably a lot of hair, things like that. And he's coming, and they meet. And it says that these two, and it doesn't even say that any words are spoken. It just, he fell on his neck, and wept on his neck a good while. And this past week, I've been thinking a little bit about that phrase, a good while. I don't know how long a good while is. God chooses not to tell us here, but he does it for a good while. And you say, Pastor, what are you trying to get at? I want you to understand that there are some precious moments in life that we need to keep precious to us. Joseph was always excited about his fathers. First time the boys came to get the food, he asked them, he says, is your father the old man? When he came back the second time in chapter 43, he found out about the father. And later on when they came back, he asked of the welfare. He says, is your father well, the old man you spake of? Chapter 45, Joseph, when he made known to his brothers, what was one of the first things he says? I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? I mean, that was his heart. He loved his father. He wanted to see his father. His father was precious to him. Even when he cried out and he said, does my father yet live? He even said, haste ye, verses later, and go up to my father and say unto him that thy son Joseph, God have made him Lord over all Egypt. He was so interested in his father. And I guess I want you to get this picture and this mental picture is that Joseph gets his chariot ready. He goes and he falls on his father's neck and he stays there a good while. Let's look what it says in verse number 30 and we'll begin preaching the message. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die since I have seen thy face because thou art yet alive. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing today. Lord, I need your help this morning. Lord, the message is one, I want you to impress upon people's hearts. Lord, we have relationships, we have precious moments in life, we have different times in life that we have just let slip by because we've been too busy, or maybe too bitter, or maybe just willing to unrelinquish some type of sin. Lord, I pray that we look for the good among the bad. Lord, we understand as believers and as Christians, we have so much to be thankful for, that we always want to honor our parents, and Lord, that while we have the chance here, Lord, that we serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this has not been an easy road for Joseph. This has not been an easy road for Jacob. This has been tough. This has been hard. But the first point is we should never forget all the good among the bad. We should never forget all the good among the bad. I see Joseph here. He remembered the good among the bad. God had rewarded him with a precious moment in his life when he was able to embrace his father before his father died. Joseph could have put his arms around him. He could have wept on his neck and rejoiced in all the good things that God had done to bring them both back together. Now, Joseph, he had plenty of heartaches. If he would have remembered the heartaches and if he would have focused on the heartaches and would have focused on the bitterness, he would never have made it to Pharaoh's court. He would have been stuck, I believe, as Potiphar's slave for the rest of his life. But because he realized God was with him and he wanted to serve God, he served the one true God, it taught him to be ready and prepared to be able to share in these precious moments of life. I began thinking a little bit of some of the precious moments in my life, and there is a lot. There has been a lot of heartache in my life. There have been things that have been hard to deal with and tough to deal with, but there's been a lot of precious times. I think about the day I married my wife. There was a great sparkle in her eye, and it was a wonderful day. I told the Sunday school class that after we had done getting our pictures, we had like an hour while we were waiting for the ladies to get the pictures, that me and my brother, which was my best man, went out to McDonald's. And my wife heard that, and she got upset. What do you mean he went to McDonald's? We're getting married here in a little while. So I remember that day standing there with my wife, and that was a precious moment in my life. I remember when my first son was born, and the circumstances around that, the labor was hard, it was a tough thing, and things went on. And when the baby finally came out, it wasn't crying. And I remember my wife saying, why isn't he crying? Is there something wrong? You know, not all babies cry. Now, Andrew, when he came out, boy, he cried and cried. Still can't get him to stop. I'm sorry. He cried. No, but I mean, precious, I mean, there are things in our life, and yes, if I focus on the person that treated me wrongly, or if I focus when things didn't turn out the way I wanted to, you know, there are precious moments in our lives. I remember the day I was saved. I remember the day I surrendered to preach. I remember the day when I surrendered my complete entire life over to God. I remember the day I became the pastor here. Those are special moments in my life. I remember when my aunt was saved. My aunt was dying with cancer. It was when God was finally dealing with my heart to become a preacher. And it was my goal to see her saved before she got to heaven. And you know what? I didn't get the privilege of leading her to Christ, but I know God used my witness there. And I'm excited that someday I'm going to get to see her in heaven. I think about Miss Maxie's song that she sung this morning. I am excited about seeing Jesus more than anything else, but I'm thankful for my Aunt Margaret that's going to be in heaven. I'm thankful for any time I had the opportunity to win someone to Christ. Those are precious moments. I think about things that happened in my boyhood, experiences I enjoyed with my mother, my brother, and my sister. Some of them are humorous. We laugh about them, but these are precious moments of life. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Well, there are a lot of things to be thankful for. We have a lot of things to be thankful for. You see, Jacob is excited here, but what does he do in chapter 46, verses 1 through 4? He thanks God. He looks to God for direction. He's thanking God. He's offering praises. Remember, he had a special moment years earlier when he wrestled with God and God finally got a hold of his heart. And he says, I cannot go down to Egypt. I know Joseph's waiting there, but I cannot pass by this place without taking a few moments to thank God and also without looking to him for direction. There are special moments in our life and there are things that we should be thankful for. He didn't care about all the fancy stuff from Egypt. He was thankful that his son was still alive. The question is, can you still rejoice and praise God for the good things? Say, what do you want me to do with this, Pastor? I want you to take this today and say, I have so much to be thankful for, and I want to live a life now in the future so God can continue to bless me and continue to give me good things. Can we still rejoice? Can we still praise God for the good things? Is this song still in our heart? Joseph waited a long time to be able to hug his father, put his arms around him, and weep on his father's neck. God gave him this precious moment in his life. And of all people, Christians have such a reason to be thankful. Amen. Joseph and Jacob could not have had this precious moment if they let bitterness control them. They had some rough times, but they realized amongst all the bad things, there was always good things. And I tell you, in the world that we live in, when there is so much wickedness, when there's so much wrong things going on, there is plenty of things a Christian can be thankful for today. We have salvation. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We have His Word. We have so much that we can hold to, much less our families, much less our church families, much less the opportunity we have to make a difference in someone's else's life. We must begin to look for the good amongst the bad. But so many times Christians are so focused and so bitter on all the wrong things and all the bad things, they forget to praise Him. They forget to sing His praises. We have song time and people don't even want to sing. We have times and opportunity to be able to share our testimonies and thank it and praise God a little bit, and people don't want to hear it. Why is that? Because they rather look at the bad things. They rather not see that God is in control. How could Joseph forget his brothers last week? Forgive his brothers. He saw that God was in charge of it all. This is how we can get there. Remember the precious moments of life. Second thing, not only is it seeing the good amongst the bad, just a little thought here. We should honor our parents. The Bible tells us this. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is God's commandment. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But it goes a step farther. Obedience is an action. God says that children are supposed to obey their parents. It says, honor thy father and mother. Honor is an attitude. The action is obedience. And you may have grown and gone long from your home, and maybe not under your parents' obedience anymore, authority anymore, but you know what you are? We're so obligated before God to honor our parents. I want to encourage young and old today to honor their parents. They don't escape that commandment to honor them. Our parents are precious moments they brought into our lives. You say, you don't know my parents. I don't. I do not know, but God does. And He tells us in His Word to honor them. You know, I would recommend to any young person that who is a Christian not to get involved or interested in another young person, young man or young lady, for marriage if they can't honor their parents. If they can't honor their parents, they're never going to honor your position also inside the marriage. It's important to get that the home is the training ground for life. And if children do not learn in the home how to honor their parents, they do not learn respect and honor for anyone else. And it's, I know those are tough things and hard things to hear, but do you honor your parents today? And you say, Pastor, my parents are long gone. Long gone for some of us. You know what? It brings us to our third point, and this is our last. We must do what we can while we can. We must do what we can while we can. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? You know what? There's a day coming where we won't have a chance to honor our parents. Many people sitting in this room say, my dad's gone, my mom's gone. I don't have that chance anymore. That should give us motivation to do what we can for them while we can. You know, there are special moments in this life that we need to embrace, and we need to go, you know, relationships. You know, some of you are sitting next to your husbands and sitting next to your wives, and you don't even get along. You're missing the special moments in life. You're missing the opportunities that you have to be able to develop a relationship with the person that God gave you and God sent you. You know, you have children that's in your home. Yeah. Those are precious moments of life. Those are precious opportunities. And so many times parents are throwing them away because of the fact that they're more interested in their work. And once again, I think we should all work. The Bible speaks about that. But I think we need to make our children a priority in our lives. I think we need to make sure that we are teaching them and guiding them and leading them and having time for them. The Bible says in John 9:4, I must work the works of them that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And someday those children are going to be out of the house. Someday those grandchildren are going to be raised up and they're going to be old enough that they're not going to look to grandma and grandpa. And they're going to look to mom and dad and say, there's someone I look up to. There's someone I want to learn from. Because at a certain age, your children are looking at you and saying, there's someone I want to learn from. There's someone I want to look up to. And what we do though in those moments and those times are the precious moments of life. I read an interview about a young man who was playing college football. His father was a professional football player who took his own life after killing his wife. It was a very tragic story. The father had been a hero of professional athletes. But after he got out of professional sports, his life went into shambles. It says he killed his wife, and the same night he took his own life, and he left four children. His oldest son became a star football player at a major college in America. And the young man was being interviewed after receiving distinction for his outstanding performance on the field. The reporter asked him, if you could say one thing to your father, what would it be? He said he broke down and started crying and said, if I could say one thing, I would tell my dad that I love him. But he couldn't do it anymore. Yeah, I've sat and listened to families talk about the death of a loved one. I wish I could tell him I loved him. I wish I could tell him I forgave him. I wish I could tell him that I'm sorry. I wish I would have told him about Jesus Christ. I wish that I would have been a better example. I hear those things. We need to work. We need to do what we can while we can. I know sometimes things are hard. I know sometimes things are tough. I know sometimes those people that we are in our families and our church family, they're hard to deal with. Sometimes they do things that they're not supposed to do. You know what? Let's go back to the story of Joseph. How could Joseph forgive them? God was in control of it all. And because God was in control of it all, he was able to live a life that was able to forgive and not hold bitterness. And now we see him weeping on the neck of his father because he had the right attitude. Don't get me wrong. I'm not perfect when it comes to this. There are many special moments in life that I probably messed up on and missed. Life is too precious and too short to live in a way so many people are living in it. They harbor things in their heart that they should not be there. They play with sin that has taken them from being the right person they should be and made them into the wrong person they wish they never were. And if we're going to have love and tenderness to anyone, we better change now. We better do it now. If you have anything good to say to someone, I encourage you to do it now. If there's someone you're supposed to forgive, I encourage you to forgive now. If there's someone that you're supposed to ask forgiveness from, I encourage you to do it now. If there's some relationship that you need to mend, what are you waiting for? There's precious moments of life that God allows us to have. Look for the good amongst the bad. And once again, there's a lot of bad out there. Now, I'm not talking about ignoring sin, accepting sin. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking, you look at Joseph's life, you look at Jacob's life, and they're there weeping because they had the right attitude. Joseph was able to forgive, and God brought this back together full realm, full circle. He didn't get stuck in Potiphar's house. If there's someone who needs to be saved, I encourage you to do it now. Say, Pastor, what do you mean by saved? I mean that the Bible teaches us that we're all sinners. We're lost. We are undone without Christ. And that Jesus Christ saw our need. And that he saw that we had a need and he came to this world. God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He came to this world to pay your sin debt. And he gives you an opportunity to cry out to him and put your faith and trust in him and believe on what he did for you on that cross, because he died, he was buried, he rose again, so you could have eternal life through him. There is no other way but through Jesus Christ. And if you have never, ever done that in your life, I encourage you to do it today, because we don't know what holds tomorrow. We don't know if you're going to make it home without being in a car accident or your life slipping away from a heart attack. We don't know if Christ could come back today and call his church home and you would be lost for all eternity. Precious moments of life. We need to do what we can while we can. And if we were honest with ourselves, probably most of us say, I'm falling short. I've let my anger, my pride, my bitterness, or my selfishness get in the way of being the person God designed me to be inside my own family. So, well, I'm not married. I don't have kids. Inside your own church family. I know we all have parents, most of us brothers and sisters. We all have relationships. We all have certain precious moments of life. When I read this story, I saw a lot of good in it. I saw God taking Joseph and bringing Jacob back together. And I saw Joseph being willing to forgive his brothers. I see Jacob falling on his face in Beersheba before God and just thanking God that he allowed his son to be alive and that he was excited to get to Joseph, but nothing was more important than him to stop and praise God for what he did. I mean, I see these, a lot of good here, these precious moments that God allows to happen. Say, those precious moments don't happen in my life very often. Are you the person that God saved you to be? Sin will ruin and will wreck homes and lives. And so many times we just play with it and we play with it. And we play with it thinking we're not hurting anybody. While we have family members that go to hell. While we have family members that resent us. And while we have people who just leave us alone. Christian, today, there are some precious moments of life. I thank the Lord that Joseph and Jacob were able to live long enough to see one another and to embrace one another. And if you and I are Christians today, we should have some of these same moments in our lives. And I pray that you take away from the message this morning, we have so much to be thankful for. Look for the good among the bad. God is there. God is working. Look for that. Honor those that you're supposed to honor. Go to 1 Peter when it talks about honoring all men. Honor those. Honor your parents. Honor the relationships you have, because we got to do what we can do while we can do it, because no one knows who holds tomorrow. Get that relationship right today. Ask for forgiveness today. Get over that sin today. Start working harder to save your marriage, save your family, save your church family. Those that are lost, let God use you and to be in a place where he can provide precious moments in your life too. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed.